Hello and welcome back to the Rigged Recap, where I'm joined by my co-host, Kayla Says.
Derek, you didn't die.
Well, I was resurrected. I was gone, but the thought of getting to see a totality solar eclipse brought me back.
Wow, you're basically Jesus. Easter was about you, actually.
Yeah, and you know, my birthday is usually around Easter, so, like, it makes sense. I don't think that makes sense. I don't think Easter and birthdays have anything to do with Jesus.
They do not, but you know what? We're gonna go with it. Derek had the flu after I cursed him, because 2 weeks ago I said, you're next, in terms of receiving an ailment. And receive an ailment, he did. Tell us about your illness, Derek.
I had every symptom in the book. I have not been that sick in literally a decade. I couldn't even lift my head up because it was pounding so hard from being filled with disgusting fluids. But besides a cough, I'm a lot better now. So, hello.
And we have two episodes to go over because Derek was dying, so he could not record due to his aforementioned not being alive. So,
yes.
We got a lot to go over. A lot has happened. A lot has occurred.
We're at a top three now. And last time we talked, there was still, what, five bitches left?
Yeah, there's a lot. A lot has occurred. So much discourse has been had. Let's see. Oh, also in between that time, I got banned from Twitter and now I'm beefing with Gabby Hanna on YouTube.com. So, like, a lot's happening.
We are constantly evolving, constantly changing. Random shit is being thrown our way, whether it be illnesses or iconic internet trolls like Gabby Hanna.
Literally, this is it. I've peaked. This is the peak of my internet fame. I'm done after this. I'm gonna go into hiding.
I feel like you could still do better than Gabby Hanna. Like, I feel like fucking, like, Tana Mojo is gonna, like, comment on you or something.
Give me Trisha. I want Trisha.
Oh, you should do a Trisha video.
I've debated it. I just don't know if I can invite that much chaos into my life.
Yeah. No, that's understandable. So do we have a daily discourse? What's been discoursing?
I guess, we could probably talk about this, like, at the end, because we have a top three now, but I guess it's either why are we doing a top three, or it's apparently Q spilled at some watch party that Saphira was given a better breastplate, and people are like, oh, production's helping Saphira.
I heard that she asked them to buy her a new one with some of her winnings. Is that correct?
I don't know if that's correct. I think that's closer to what Q actually said, because I think Q said something like, oh yeah, she got that taken care of after the first episode, but she wasn't saying it in, like, an accusatory way. And I think that has also happened on other episodes. There's been other stories of girls, like, using, yeah, their winnings or something, or asking production for some help with something. And I feel like it's not that big of a deal, but people are like, it's rigged. This is all rigged. Like, I don't know, man.
Well, like, I know on All-Star 7, they were running out of outfits, so they were getting new things, like, brought in for, like, lip-sync looks, like, towards the end of the season. If you run out of stuff, or if you have, like, a malfunction, I feel like production most of the time will be like, yeah, okay, like, we can help you out a little bit.
Yeah, and these are the people who also are cheering constantly for, you know, stipends for looks, which I agree with. And it's like, then you're gonna turn around and be like, I don't like when production helps people get things that they need. Like, I don't know, fuck off, maybe? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, like, if it's true that Saphira literally used her winnings to buy it, then, like, I don't see what the issue is. Because, like, there's plenty of times where they need, like, a prop or something, and they send production to go grab it.
Right. And I guess it's the idea of, like, oh, you know, they wouldn't play that for some other queen, but they played it for her. But it's like, I don't know. I don't have any evidence. I need more receipts than, like, this imaginary case that you're building against Saphira. I have been really annoyed with the amount of Saphira criticism that has been building. And maybe that's my bias clocking in, but yeah.
See, the same shit happened last season with Sasha Colby, because everyone was just, like, bored at the thought that the person who we all assumed the whole time was gonna win. So they have to come up with, like, bullshit ways to, like, I don't know if Sasha Colby should win, because actually, it's like, just shut the fuck up.
No,
like,
it's,
let's just enjoy.
It's literally, like, such contrarian horseshit. Like, it's so annoying. And it's, I'm not saying, like, if you want Nymphia or Plain Jane to win, like, you are in this category. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, if you're one of those people who will go on Reddit and be like, I don't like Saphira for no reason. Like, don't, mm-hmm. maybe don't do that.
Yeah, there's, like, three camps of, like, this, like, each season has, like, a stereotypical, these are those Queens fans, like, in a nutshell. And I feel like Saphira has the, like, the normies, the ones that are just like, yeah, we stand this bitch, the end. Plain Jane has, like, the chaotic, who are, like, causing chaos, but, like, in a fun way. It's not really that big of a deal. I feel like the toxic fans, a lot of them, are rooting for Nymphia. And I'm seeing a lot of nasty things being said about Saphira in the case of, like, trying to prop up Nymphia. And it's just, like, gross. Not saying every Nymphia fan is, like, a weirdo, but a lot of them are. And it's just been, like, ugh, gross to look at.
It has been, and I love Saphira. I will not be upset if Nymphia wins. I get it. The way the show has been trending recently, I think anything could happen. I feel like in earlier seasons, Saphira would have been more of a lock. And nowadays, you know, they like to go for the unexpected thing. I will be personally disappointed if Nymphia wins because I want Saphira to win. That is a natural human inclination to have a favorite and want to root for them, and that is fine. You will not hear shit from me online about it because I do not want to be attacked by crazy people.
Exactly.
I will just seethe in silence, and that'll be it.
The end.
The end.
Oh, someone that I wanted to win a TV show didn't win? Let me have a temper tantrum and call people ugly online.
Drag Race fans are dumb, and that has been today's daily discourse. We've known this, but we're gonna, you know, revisit it because it's been a while.
Yeah. So we're just gonna talk a little bit about the makeover episode because it's been a second. Unfortunately, we did lose Morphine. What I thought was gonna happen, I low-key think would have been better of, like, Morphine winning the challenge and getting, like, a double save between Saphira and Plain. Like, that would have been really cunty, but that is not what happened. What did happen? Oh, Plain Jane won!
Plain Jane won, and Saphira and Morphine were in the bottom. And I think this was fair, but I also think they were a little mean to Saphira in the critiques, is what I'll say. Okay, because, yeah, I agree she should have been in the bottom, but she very clearly explained, like, during critiques what happened, which was, like, you made it a dance challenge, and I didn't bring an outfit to dance in, and so I had to come up with something, like, you know, last minute. And then Michelle was like, you can't talk your way out of that. And it's like, what do you mean? Like, she wasn't. Like, you asked her why, like, this happened, and then she answered. And, like, I don't know, I just feel like they were a little harsh on her. It wasn't atrocious, like, I don't know.
I feel like Miss Saphira would have been in trouble regardless, because looking at that Geo dress that she had, it was a little suspicious looking. Maybe we just needed the whole look for it to, like, come together, but it looked a little crazy.
It did. And also, I think this was an example of a makeover challenge where everyone did pretty well, so you, like, it was kind of splitting hairs, especially for the other three, Q, Nymphia, and Plain, because I feel like you could have made a justification for any of them. And I also, not that I'm even the biggest Q fan, but I feel like at that point, everybody just wanted Q to go home so bad that they were bashing her makeover. And I'm like, if any other alt queen did that, you guys would be living. Her makeover was good. Sorry, it was good.
Well, and I don't watch the episodes when they air because I don't have fucking cable because I'm not 97 years old. So I watch it the next morning. But I saw everyone online being so pissed that Plain Jane won. They're like, oh, this is the ultimate riggery. The fact that Plain Jane won this episode, what the fuck? So I was, like, prepared for, like, rigged central. Like, people were pissed. But, like, I watched it, and, like, it didn't seem rigged to me. Nothing really seemed that rigged. Like, I got why they gave it to Plain Jane. I got why Morphine was in the bottom with Saphira. I was like, yeah, this all kind of makes sense.
I think what everybody wanted was they wanted Nymphia to win, and they wanted Q to go home, and that did not happen. And there's no way that, in my opinion, that could have been justified in any way. So people are just mad that, like, their expectations were not met. And so they were like, I'm mad at this episode because reasons. And it's like, no, I don't know. I think, I mean, Plain Jane was her look wasn't my favorite, but also I feel like every makeover, like, somebody just gets a partner who, like, it's very clear that they had the biggest transformation, they had, you know, the best attitude in drag, and that happened to be Plain Jane, and I think that's what put her over the edge, you know?
Mm-hmm, exactly. There also was so much talk about the lip sync between Saphira and Morphine, and how Saphira lost it, obviously, and she should be gone now, but, like, we don't want to, like... We're not going to talk about that, I guess. That Saphira shouldn't even be here. So I was prepared for, like, Morphine to, like, destroy the lip sync and Saphira to, like, flop it. And then it didn't go down like that at all from my perspective.
No, it was just a case of we've seen Saphira and Morphine lip sync a lot. So it's like, and this is not, you know, it wasn't exactly the most fast beat sort of crazy cunty song. You know what I mean? There's only so much you can do with it. And they both did what they needed to do. It was fine. Obviously, they were gonna save Saphira. It wasn't a slaughter like everyone is saying. And I'm just gonna say this because I don't have a comment section to yell at me about it, and I think I'm right, and you're not allowed to give me direct feedback about it because you're all listening and you can't comment. I think people are being a little anti-black to Saphira, or like were during this episode.
Okay, well, what were you seeing that was like...
I just feel like, I don't know, there's people like, you know, during that lip sync in particular, like, just, you know, people saying that she's sloppy and messy and that she can't lip sync, and I'm like, I don't see what you're seeing, you know what I mean? Like, this was not a bad lip sync at all, she did not do bad at all, I don't like people who call her sloppy and messy. I feel like that's a fucking weird critique. She's one of the most polished, like, queens this whole season. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going up for a mandatory meeting and people calling her messy, you should not be calling Saphira messy. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's gross. It's weird. I don't like it.
Well, and, like, I feel like it was a really close lip sync. Like, they both did really well, but it was the fact that Saphira had 4 wins and 0 bottoms before that, and Morphine had 0 wins and 4 bottoms. So, like, it just made sense.
Why are people, like, acting brand new about, like, as if this is the first time the show has ever worked this way? 9 times out of 10, if you have a better track record, you're gonna stay, unless it's, you know, a Plasma versus Maya situation, where somebody mm-hmm. gets obliterated. Like, it's... This is how the show has worked for fucking 15 years now. I don't know why we're pretending like this is... Every single episode is egalitarian and fair, and it all actually comes down to the lip sync. It almost never does. Like, it's reality TV. Fucking relax.
Are there any other thoughts on that episode, though? It was your makeover. It was your episode. Did you feel like it, like... Did it bring you everything you needed?
I mean, I loved it. I thought it was fun. I thought seeing the dancers, like, get into it was fun. RuPaul laughing at the Lazy Susan pun for the drag name. Like, I just love the episodes that have kind of, like, the stupid, goofy shit like that. And this had plenty of that. And I liked it, even though Saphira was in the bottom. Everyone stop being mean to Saphira or I will fight you. Thanks.
Yeah, no, I love the makeover episode. That was a really, really good one. I liked the, like, one, we got eye candy, but also, like, it was interesting to see them, like, try and make these, like, huge buff ripped men into, like, women, and some did better than others. Poor Morphine's man was a little manly in the final product.
One thing about that, people saying that she should have been in the top because, you know, she did the best mug. She did do the best mug because Morphine's a great makeup artist, but I also do agree with the critiques that her man looked like a big burly man, and there are things mm-hmm. that you can do, you know, silhouette-wise to, like, avoid that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't mm-hmm. understand, like, why the disconnect with the critique there. It make perfect fucking sense to me.
If she had, like, a boa or something just to try and cover the shoulders up a little bit, I think it would have helped a lot. But she didn't, and now she's not here anymore. But she'll be back next week, which, you know, that's cool. But we have our top four, which is Plain Jane and Saphira and Nymphia and Q. And usually, this would be who we have going into the finale. But this season is different because we go down to a top three.
It's different and it's correct.
Do you feel like this was the plan from the jump? Do you think they always wanted to have a top three? Or do you think that they just felt like there's a very clear three and a fourth one that maybe we don't see as a winner? Like, let's just get rid of them?
I think it depends on what they do with the finale. I feel like we'll have a clearer answer depending on what the finale actually is and looks like. But if they're actually wising up to the fact that a top three makes the end of the season more engaging, then I think that's good, because I think all of the seasons with the top four have been ass toward the end, because it's like, you very clearly know at least one of them isn't winning. It's always like, okay, yeah, that one is the clear fourth place. Like, I don't know. I think it's just always been more exciting with the top three, because now I feel like any one of them can actually win.
Yeah, I agree.
If Q was in the top four, I'd be like, yeah, Q's not winning. Like, it's very obvious with each top four which one is not winning.
So, for this new episode, they... Fuck, what was the mini challenge? They had a mini challenge.
Oh, it was the water. They waterboarded them.
They did. They got waterboarded. She said, like, you're gonna be lip-syncing underwater, and I was picturing, like, the tank from, like, season 5's
They should shoot. Bring that shit back. That was hilarious.
I know. This was just them sticking their face in a little, like, puddle of water and, like, lip-syncing. Would you have liked this?
Would I like to do it? Yeah, I think so. I think I could serve cunt.
Okay.
Yeah.
I, like, would need to, like, plug my nose, and I feel like that kind of would, like... I think I would actually camp it up. Like, the fact that I would plug my nose, like, I would try to, like, camp that up to be, like, funny instead of, like, stupid. But it wouldn't have been pleasant, I don't think.
Yeah, I was a fan of the waterboarding torture. I thought that was good. I think they should do that more.
They did not want to do that. They were like, don't fucking make us do this shit.
Yeah, they were not into it. I wish we had puppets, but I'll take waterboarding as an alternative.
Well, and this is where Safira debuts her new breastplate. And RuPaul's like, you got a breastplate dealer? And she's like, I do.
Yeah, and it looked good. And she looked good. Good for her.
And she actually wins the mini challenge because she lip synced equally with the breastplate as much as she did with her mouth. And that always is going to get RuPaul laughing. So
just titties are the secret to fucking Drag Race at this point, man. RuPaul loves titties and so do I. So
this is the season of titties. Like, the breastplates were breastplating the entire season.
And you know what? Good for them.
So the actual challenge, though, is they have to write a book and then do an interview about the book and shoot a cover for the book, which they've done this challenge before, but it hasn't really been done in a really long time. So I was kind of excited for it.
I think this was a good challenge. I think this was a good top four challenge. Can I take a sec to yell at everybody who was mad it wasn't a remix? Can I take a sec?
Oh, fucking yeah. Please do. Please do.
God, you guys are... And I'm not calling out any one specific person. I saw this a lot. Why do you want every challenge to be the same challenge? Why do you want that? What is the entertainment value in that? They did it twice, and twice was too much. What, like... I don't understand. I don't understand, like, why this... that. I get it because Read You Wrote You was so good, and so they made it, like, the final thing for fucking every finale after that. I just don't... I don't understand. I don't think it provides any entertainment value to watch them do something that they've done already. Like how many times... Twice. Like, how many variations of a verse can you... write? How many, you know, choreo combos can you see them do? You know, it would be the same shit. Nymphia can't write a verse. Q can't dance. Saphira's pretty good at everything. Plain Jane's pretty good at everything. She's a little wobbly, but she looks cunt. It's gonna be the same thing. Why do you want that?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Well, and I feel like this was perfect because it, like, eliminated the need to do, like, the whole tic-tac lunch or, like, what do you want to say to little Saphira? Like, I feel like we could just, like, bypass that shit and still have, like, those kind of moments, but it makes sense with the challenge.
Finally moved past that. Oh, my God.
What would you say to little Kayla?
Fucking make every choice that you made thus far, make a different one.
Do the exact opposite.
Do the exact opposite. You know what? No, go into tech. That's go into tech. Go get a business degree. Go into tech.
Okay. You know, Derek, you're going to go to college and you're going to want to live with people, but one of them's going to turn out to be a serial killer, so don't live there.
What? Actually?
And that's a story for another day.
Yo, that's crazy.
No, but you know who I saw yesterday? You know who I saw the eclipse with?
The serial killer?
I mean, unless he's still lurking in the background, no. Dr. Jake...
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, that's a name I haven't heard in a minute.
Yeah, him and his husband were in Cleveland, so he met up with me and my friends, and we saw the eclipse. And his husband said, why didn't we get a music video? And I was like, listen up. I'm not about to name drop him because I don't know if that's kosher, but listen up, Dr. Jake's husband.
That's so wholesome. I love that.
Yeah, they're really fun. It was very fun. Kayla, what would the name of your book be?
What would the name of my book be? Ooh, Secure the Bag at All Costs.
Mine would be like Memoirs of an Annoying Bitch.
Wow, I love that. Or like Hot Mess. I feel like that.
Or like, yeah, like Average Mess.
Average
looking mess. Of the books that these four were reading, did any of them stand out as like, I would actually read this book?
I think Saphira's, just because I feel like she kind of tackled it the right way. And Nymphia's as well. I think Nymphia did a good job. I would read both of their books because I feel like they kind of took the hint to make it more of like a vulnerability moment to kind of tell your own personal story and your relationship with art and drag. And I feel like, you know, if I'm reading a book that about a drag queen, that's what I would probably want to read. So, yeah.
So you're saying you wouldn't read Alphabet Soup by Q?
No, I don't think so. I would eat Alphabet Soup. I like soup, but I wouldn't want to read
a book about it. Would you eat Alphabet Soup with Q?
Yeah, I probably would. Hell yeah.
Okay. So I think we can just kind of, like, break down each of the queens, like, package.
Yeah.
Because there was kind of a lot that they had to do. So let's start off with who do we want to start? Let's start off with Plain Jane. Why not? So Plain Jane's book was called Plane Crash: How I Walked Away from Disaster. And we see them do like a photo shoot with RuPaul, which this was really fun because RuPaul was like
art directing
the photo shoot, which was cool to see her be so, like, involved.
Yeah.
In, like, with the queens we're doing. Like, we don't really see that often.
Yeah, she was so fun. I really enjoyed her, like, getting into it. And she was good at it. Like, all of their shots came out pretty good.
Oh, yeah. So, Plain Jane, her plane crashed, and this is her book. What did you think about everything Plain Jane did for her book?
Oh, my God. I feel like, and it's not her fault because her whole shtick has worked so well for her up until this point. I think she missed the mark on this so bad because she didn't, like, you know, in every other challenge, it's almost a weird full circle moment because at all costs, she's been like, I just need to make Rue laugh and I'll get through it. I just need to make Rue laugh and be fierce and I'll get through it. And this was the challenge where they were looking for something a little different from her, and it totally just did not land at all. I almost felt kind of bad because I'm like, okay, you're going into this from like a smart angle because this is probably like how this would function 99% of the time, but you pick the one time where they want you to like open up and be vulnerable, and she could not have been farther from it. So
yeah, it's interesting because like she's normally been so good at like knowing exactly what is needed for the challenge, but like she was just really far off. Like, I don't think she did a bad job. I just think she couldn't align what she was doing with what RuPaul and Michelle wanted from them out of this challenge.
I agree. The podcast in particular was probably the cringiest part of what she did.
Yeah, because we have Matt Rogers, who was like doing a podcast episode talking about their book or whatever. And I also was wondering, like, how much they actually had to write. Because they referenced, like, oh, in your chapter. And then, like, T.S. Madison was like, I read your chapter on this. And I'm like, how much do they actually have to write for this? Like, is it just, like, one chapter? Or, like, how many pages?
Yeah, I was intrigued by that. I don't know, like, what they're... I would assume it's just, like, a chapter? Like, I don't know.
I don't know either. It was unclear. They should have, like, put those online. Like, here, read their books. But they didn't. But yeah, Plain Jane, she did fine. I just think that, like, unfortunately, I do think she came onto the show with kind of a, not necessarily a character, but, like, an arc for herself that she wanted to do, which we've seen throughout this entire season kind of unfold. And I feel like when you're doing something that's so candid, if you're not 1,000% yourself the entire time, then it's going to be very obvious, and I feel like it was very obvious in this episode.
Yeah, I agree.
So, and then on the runway, the category was fan, And she ends up doing this, like, Aphrodite kind of Grecian goddess look with this huge breastplate. I didn't like this. A lot of people like this. I think it kind of makes her look pregnant.
That is a crazy take. Let me go back and look at... Sorry, I'm eating a chip. Let me go back and look at... look at this for reference. Hold on. Because I'm not prepared. I'm so good at my job. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it's a little... I feel like it looks better moving. I see what she was going for. I just feel like I've seen other queens do this specific look better. You know, with, like, the kind of hard, structured top and then, like, the flowy bottom. But I don't think it's bad. It's just not my favorite thing she's done. It also doesn't read fan to me that much.
Yeah, it doesn't. This was my least favorite of the runways, unfortunately. But this was also just, like, a really fierce runway. So, unfortunately, I think I'm gonna have to give Plain Jane a cold case for this episode.
I'm so hungry. I haven't eaten all day. Sorry. I thought I could do that discreetly. And I clearly could not. I will give her... Yeah, I will... I think this is the first... cold case I've given her all season.
Yeah, possibly. Did we give her cold case for, like, the power episode? We might have.
Possibly. That's possible. But yeah, it's a rare one.
A rare Plain Jane L. Next, we have the winner of our challenge, Nymphia Wind, who initially is, like, freaking out. She's like, I don't want to write. I suck at writing. I don't want to do this. This is a lot of work. But then when she actually, like, sits down and does it, she ends up writing some very, like, personal things about just, like, her life, being a Taiwanese person living in the U.S. now, and was really kind of showing more in this episode than I think we've gotten from her most of the season.
Yeah, everyone was like, oh, Nymphia showed vulnerability at the exact right time, and I think she should have done it earlier. This episode really endeared me to her more than I have been in the past couple of weeks, and I think she did a great job. I'm happy that she didn't go with the banana shtick. I think that was smart of her. Her cover was great. And yeah, I think she did really well. I don't know if she, like, everyone's like, oh, she, you know, this is obviously her win, like, she killed it. I think Safira also did really well, but, like, they weren't gonna give Safira 5 wins, obviously. But I'm glad Nymphia won this challenge. She did well.
Yeah, her book was called Breaking Wind, The Art of Letting Go. Her cover was everything. She was wearing this, like, very, like, high fashion, like, avant-garde look. And she had a lot of fun with RuPaul while they were doing the shoot for the cover. And I do think that, like, it could have been Nymphia or Safira winning, but, like, I feel like Safira didn't show us anything new this episode because she's been showing us who she is from literally episode 1. Whereas, like, this was, like, a brand new sides of Nymphia that we were getting, which just kind of, like, stood out a little bit more because it felt so fresh from her. And then on the runway, she wore a Marie Antoinette-inspired fan look, which Michelle was like, I never want to see another one of these fucking looks on this runway, but nice job.
She's so real for that. Michelle's so real
She is.
That.
She is.
It's very played out, but I think this was cute. I thought it looked... Yeah. She looked good.
Yeah, it wasn't my favorite. It wasn't my least favorite. It was fine. I liked it.
It was fine. I will give a closed case to Miss Nymphia.
Agreed. Closed case. And the perfect timing to really, like, kick it into high gear.
Yes. I think before this, I was so out on her having any momentum into the finale. I was like, it is so clearly a Safira win. And now I'm like, okay, I can maybe see it being a toss-up, which sucks for me because we know who I want to win, but, you know.
Right, yeah.
At least it's exciting now.
Next up, we have Safira Crystal, whose book was entitled Slewfoot, Embracing All of Me. I've never heard of a slewfoot before this season.
I've never heard that term, I guess. Like, for yeah. It. I've heard, like, pigeon-toed. Isn't it the same thing?
Oh, is that what it is?
I think so. And I also am pigeon-toed, so maybe I have a slew foot and I just don't know.
Okay. Well, did this make you feel, like, empowered about your slew foot?
Yeah, just because I will buy anything Safira sells to me, so hell yeah.
She's just, like, dripping in charisma. She's so real. She is mother. That is Queenie. And RuPaul is obsessed with her.
She's such an icon. She's so confident in herself, and that really came through in the podcast. She knows what she's doing. She looks good. I'm so obsessed with her. Her runway was great. It was so cool. It was a really cool interpretation of the fans. And I love her. I love her so much. I will be very sad if she does not win.
Mm-hmm. Something that's interesting about Safira is she's able to have chemistry with anybody. Any of the queens that she's sitting down with, like, doing a mirror talk with. Any of the judges. Matt Rogers. Like, she is just so charismatic and is able to, like, show that with everybody that she comes into contact with. It's just, like, I want her to win because I don't need to see her on an All-Stars. Like, this is her moment.
This is her moment, and I can't remember the last time I've been this endeared to a queen, and I love her so much. Team Safira, I don't know what to tell you if you're looking for, like, another, you know, perspective on this podcast. Do we know anybody who's Team Nymphia or Team Plain Jane? Like, I don't even know.
No.
So we're all correct then. Okay, great.
Well, yeah, I think my sister might be Team Nymphia, but I think she really likes Safira as well. My mother's Team Safira, I think. Matthew's Team Safira. It's correct.
We're all correct.
Who's your mom rooting for?
I actually have to ask her because I think she's catching up still. But she did. Okay. I think she's, knowing her, she's probably a big Plain Jane stan.
Oh, that's iconic. That's pretty iconic.
It is iconic. She always roots for the bitches, and I love that for her.
That's like me, and my mother's like the opposite. Like, she's like, I hate that. Like, the second anyone is even a tiny bit villainous, my mom's like, oh, no. And I'm like, yes!
Plain Jane's gonna eat when they finally stop being bitches and do an all-villain season.
Oh, I think that, like, she's the reason why they're gonna do it. Like, I think that, like, now that you have Plain Jane and everyone is obsessed with her, I think that, like, that could potentially endear people to a lot of, like, former villains.
I agree. Her arc has been very impressive on this season, I feel like.
I'm giving Safira a closed case.
Closed case for me as well. Love her so much.
And then last up, we have Q, whose book was entitled Alphabet Soup, Savor Every Bite. And it's just like her dancing in like a bowl of soup. But then her runway, actually, she had my favorite runway. She does this like orange ballerina outfit that has like fans all over it in the front and the back. And this really like geometric sculpted wig. So kind of like a mixed bag for me, like least favorite book, but my favorite runway.
Yeah, her runway's gorgeous. I mean, everything, almost everything she wears, I've really, really liked. I like this a lot. Yeah, her book was just a little aimless. I think there was no saving her this challenge regardless. No. I don't know. She also doesn't come across as a person who can like do vulnerability really well. And so I feel like this challenge was sort of designed to get Q eliminated.
I mean, yeah, like, there's just some people who have, like, the charisma needed for a challenge like this. And then there's people like Q and Plain Jane who, like, I just don't think are able to, like, present themselves in that way.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel very mixed on Q. I feel bad because I just feel like she went on TV and took everything so personally.
Mm-hmm.
And once you show your ass like that, it's hard to turn around and do a challenge where it's like, okay, now you have to be vulnerable. Like, it was a very monumental task for her to overcome, and she did not overcome it.
No, not at all. Like, it's interesting, because, like, she did do so well throughout the entire season. Like, she had very few actual slip-ups, but she really had no momentum. Like, no winning potential. Like, no one was really Team Q, and I don't think the judges were Team Q.
I don't think so, because I think she just, I was so transparent about how butthurt she would get when she didn't, you know, when everybody wasn't singing her praises, and that can just be off-putting to some people. I get you're competitive, and I get you want to win, but there's nothing that's, like, endearing people to you in those moments. I don't know. And it's also, like, it's, like, she's a very specific brand of, like, Midwestern weirdo.
Yeah, well, and I'm rewatching the season, getting ready for the Riggery video, and in the first episode, Q kind of, like, breaks down a little bit when she's getting all of the positive critiques on her runway and everything, And she's like, it's just like, it feels really good to hear people like give you credit for like what all of your hard work. And I feel like she almost got like addicted to that. And I think that like is kind of where some of her, what could be perceived as like thinking she deserves maybe more than she gets. Like, I think maybe that's where it came from. And she just kind of got a little bit like caught up in like getting positive feedback and like getting the platform to like really show off everything she did. And I think she kind of lost sight of like the human behind all of the drag and all of the costumes and everything.
I think she played this completely wrong. I think if she played her cards differently from the start of the season, she totally could have been the Crystal Method lovable weirdo who everyone loves, who was overlooked by the judges and robbed before the top three. Like, she played this so wrong, and, you know, hindsight's 2020. You don't go into it, you know, trying to play your cards right in that way. You just hope it all shakes out for you, and sometimes it doesn't, but she's still very talented. She is one of the best seamstresses to ever have been on this show. I think she'll do just fine. I don't know if they're ever gonna bring her back for All Stars, because it sounds like she's got quite a few bones to pick with the people who cast her, but, you know.
Well, so the bottom two is Plain Jane and Q, and, like, the song didn't even need to happen for me to know exactly what's going to go down. They lip-synced to Better Be Good to Me by Tina Turner, which is a bop. And low fucking key, Q won that for me.
Really?
Yep.
Ooh. I think Plain Jane gave the amount of camp that they wanted her to give. I think she was sort of a lock for the top three, because I think RuPaul responds the best to Plain Jane and Safira. I could see it, though. It wasn't like a blowout one way or the other.
I think that I just preferred Q taking it more seriously, the song, because it's more of like a serious song. But like Plain Jane just like doing her little like titty bounces was like, okay, well, like, I feel like it's not maybe the song for that, but obviously Q was going to go home and Plain Jane was going to stay. So, like, I wasn't shocked, but I feel like with all of the lip sync right before the finale, like, moments, like with Mistress and Anitra or, like, Angeria and Willow, like, this is the closest one that I think could have really justified them keeping them both.
And you knew they thought that, too. They definitely thought that, too. Like, there was a little pause before they eliminated Q. Nobody could even believe it. It was harsh, but I feel like for Drag Race to continue without jumping the shark and without getting goofy as fuck and without getting ruined the way they've ruined All Stars, this needed to happen. And I feel bad that it all came down to Q and Q was the first victim of it, but it needed to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it feels like now, I don't know if it's necessarily equal, like 33-33-33, but like, it feels like all of them have a solid chance to win, and I'm going into the finale, like, nervous. Like, I want it to be Safira so bad, but like, it could go either way, and I am stressed. And that's kind of the vibe you want going into a finale, you know, not like the last couple of seasons where it's kind of felt like, we know what's gonna happen, you know what I mean? Like, I figured Simone would win. I figured Willow Pill would win. I figured Sasha Colby would win.
Yeah, and I'm really interested to see what they're going to do during the finale. Because, like, I'm assuming they're going to have them go back to, like, you know, the pre-done songs, which I prefer to the lip-sync battle. I just feel like the last kind of top four finales have all been like, all right, let's get through some bullshit nonsense before we get to the actual top two that everybody knows what it's going to be, and we're just eliminating that, and that makes me so happy.
Well, I'm kind of concerned because, like, last season was my favorite finale of all time. It felt like an American Idol finale or something. We had, like, Jinx Monsoon performing, and we had Orville Peck performing, and it felt like a moment. But, like, because they filmed everything ahead of time, like, I feel like it's gonna feel kind of small.
Can I ask a dumb question? How do we know they filmed it ahead of time? Did somebody say it?
Yes.
Okay. I get it because it's probably because of the strike, but like, I don't know. I'm almost like, is this maybe even just like something they're going to start doing now?
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, did they film with an audience?
Probably not, because we would have heard about it already.
It's going to feel really weird, and I feel like it's going to kind of feel a little bit anticlimactic for, like, what was such a huge season. Like, we're not getting a reunion unless they decide to film one, like, soon, which they fucking should get on that. Wow, fucking Presents Plus.
I don't think they're going to do it. If they didn't do it for All-Star 7, I don't think they're going to do it for this.
Ugh, this is a season that needs one. There's so much, like, messiness.
Yeah, I feel like the art of the reunion has fallen by the wayside, and that's unfortunate. And I think the Drag Race finales have been floundering for quite some time. I think the last finale is the closest they've gotten to getting it right in a while. And so I'm happy to, like, you know, see that trajectory. But yeah, I also don't know how it's going to go without an audience, without, like, a big sort of premiere event. I feel like it's kind of even difficult to comprehend that it's, like, ending, like, now. Like, I saw the promo event for Nymphia's thing April 19th. I was like, shit, that's very soon. It's just done. Like...
Mm-hmm. And we don't know what's coming afterwards. Like, I'm assuming All-Stars 9 is coming, but, like, we don't know when.
Yeah, we don't know any... I'm assuming, yeah, they'll probably tease it during the finale. Like, they'll do a commercial teaser. Like, a vague commercial teaser. Yeah. A cast reveal. And that'll be a nightmare. And it'll be a beautiful... fun, horrible nightmare that we get to make fun of every week. I'm interested by the lack of information, but no matter what, I'm happy that it's a top three, because I'm a savage, cold-hearted cunt.
Well, so next week, we don't get a reunion, but we're getting a Lollapalooza with all of the eliminated queens, which this sounds like it could be really cunt. And it sounded like there was an audience, too.
Yeah, I'm excited for this because I was never a huge fan of the two Lollapalooza seasons that they did in 15 and 14. I thought they were fun, but I also... I don't think it's a great way to eliminate somebody. So I'm happy with this as an alternative. I think this is just going to be like a fun, low-stakes, goofy episode, and that is entertaining to me. I feel like we need more of that.
Mm-hmm. And, like, I mean, I've made videos and stuff about how, like... if you do it during the season, it is inherently rigged because, like, there are so many moving parts that they're not just going to let, you know, by chance happen. But, like, with this, it feels like it can be really, like, fair, and they can just kind of, like, see what happens. And whoever wins the money wins the money. And by that, I mean either Morphine or Maya.
Yeah, I wonder. I actually haven't seen... because I get, I don't know, just through my travels on the internet, I get tangentially spoiled occasionally. I haven't seen anybody spoil who wins the money. I legitimately don't know. Like, because I haven't looked at the T-Doc. I literally don't know, so.
I, like, always want to know the songs. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't seen any of the songs.
I haven't seen anything about it. I feel like this whole season, like, yeah, it was a spoilery, especially toward the beginning, but toward the end, like... I don't know. I didn't know it was going to happen, the makeover or this episode. Like, I kind of know through osmosis, but, like, they've done a good job at keeping stuff under wraps, so.
Mm-hmm. I think maybe the cast realized, like, damn, this was, like, a really good season. Like, we don't want everyone to know. Because, like, there's so many people who come home and just tell everybody that they know all this shit. But I feel like this cast was pretty, like, low-key about it.
I feel like they didn't blab as much, because I feel like as, like, the last couple seasons, like, we knew literally everything from the moment the girls got home, so.
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm excited. Any final thoughts on this episode, Kayla?
I think it was a good episode. I love top threes. Top threes now and forever. Derek, I have a fun question for you.
Go for it.
Who would be your one pick for season 17? Who do you want to see in season 17?
Who do I want to see? Honestly, I would love to see Chantel Sparkles.
Ooh, that's a good one.
She's an incredible seamstress. And if we're going to be doing all these design challenges, like, which I'm down to keep this, like, momentum with design challenges going, she would be someone who would, like, kill it. What about you?
Okay, so this is, like, a unique pick, because you'd think I'd pick a New York City girl, and trust me, there are many New York City girls who will get on in their time. I'm going to pick a girl I saw in Seattle when I went in December, Rowan Ruthless. If you don't know her, look her the fuck up on Instagram. She is amazing. We saw her, I forget the name of the bar, it's in Capitol Hill, and I went with my best friend. And she was such, like, a sickening performer. She looks like Violet Chachki, like she has kind of that like showgirl like element. She actually did that song that Orbit did in Drag Duel for the ballad challenge. The Sade song.
The
Sade song. And she was like so, so good. So I am manifesting Rowan Ruthless season 17 and Lucy Stuhl, but they'll never cast her. So
they should.
They should.
Well, what about one of your local artists? Like, who would you do locally?
Reese Havoc and Hanukkah Lewinsky. They host a bunch of the
Hanukkah Lewinsky. Yes. Bye.
They host a bunch of the stuff around here, and I've seen them before, and they are great. And I would love to. I think they'll both get on, and I think they'll both get on together. It's just kind of a question of when. So I am excited for that. And Bible Girl, friend of the show, Bible Girl.
Bible Girl's been on 16 times already, though, so, like,
bring
you know.
Bring her back for a 17th time.
Yeah, you know, we need it. We deserve it. I really want, we have, the queen that I think everyone thinks is going to get on is Anadonia Delight, because she's just, like, so polished in Cleveland. But we have, I love her. I would love for her to be on, but we have a queen, she bebops all over Ohio, Dakota Cox.
Ooh.
She always does these, like, weird numbers, like, these weirdo numbers that I love, but she's, like a bucking kind of queen, and then she does these, like, weird lip syncs, and it's, like, I love that, like, juxtaposition.
Oh, you know who else? Now we're just listing people. Vanity from Nashville. She's at Play Nashville. Apparently she's been, like, she's gone through kind of the process and she hasn't gotten on yet. But, yeah, I saw her with my mom and Amanda when Amanda worked at Play. And she is super polished, super funny, really, really good. So, yeah, go support your local drag if you have not yet.
Yes, please do. I think that's all for this episode. Kayla, what do you have going on right now?
I'm currently beefing with Gabby Hanna on YouTube because I said in my JoJo Siwa video, I made an offhanded comment about how Tate McRae couldn't sing. And then she commented and she was like, actually, you're wrong. And I was like, oh my God, Gabby Hanna's telling me I'm wrong. This is so funny. So that's happening. I'm very close to 100K. I'm at 95K currently. I got suspended on Twitter because I made a joke about beating up Tim Pool, and Mr. Elon Musk did not think that was funny and he banned me. So if you are listening to this and you have not refollowed me, you can follow me once again over at Kayla Says More on Twitter. You can also follow me on Instagram at Kayla_Rosa, R-O-S-A, and connect with me there. Please subscribe to me so I can get a fancy plaque and hang it up in my little tiny apartment. Thank you.
You were initially thinking, like, end of the year, 100K, and it's literally April, and you're really close.
I literally, like, this last JoJo Siwa video, because I made two. I made How the Internet a couple weeks ago, and then I made, like, a follow-up with all of her rebrand stuff, and I posted it yesterday, and it's already at 170K views. I'm like, what is going on? Like
what is happening? I love that for you. I am slowly but surely trying to come back to life and finish the UK versus the World 2 Riggory video, as well as I was supposed to do two videos on Nymphia and Plain Jane's edits, but I don't think I'm going to have time to do both before the finale now. So fuck the flu, but I'm probably going to do a Nymphia one because I just think that's more interesting to me than Plain Jane's.
All my homies hate the flu.
We do. But other than that, thank you all so much for listening, and we will be back next week to talk about the Lollapalooza.
Yes, we will. See you later. Bye.